not just in heaven, but even on this earth, Father, that those that suffer in the flesh, well, we cease from sin. That's why we suffer. We suffer in this world because we're Christians. We suffer with him that we may be glorified with him. And that's our hope. That's our faith. That's our destiny, is that that's going to happen, Lord. It is happening every day. Every day we die. Every day we're being changed. Although our outward man perish, you know, we get old and have to have our knees replaced, have to have all kinds of stuff done, but it's okay because our inward man is being renewed day by day. And so we thank you for that. And we don't even know that. We don't even think about it or even sometimes acknowledge it. But we know it's true because it says it right there in the Bible. So we thank you, Father. You're taking care of that, and we're not hardly barely even cooperating. We're really not even cooperating. So thank you that you're taking care of that, that you cooperate for us because Jesus does everything. He's our all in all. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. So that's good. So let the word of God, Susie, Barbara, Elvis, let the word of God do all the work. So you don't have to, because you can't work anyway, so don't even try. I know it sounds contradictory to our flesh, to the world, but if you work, then you want a reward, then you're going to be stressed out. Gosh, I did that thing, and then nobody even thanked me. Or I did this, and God broke my arm instead. Some people, we get upset. So the Word of God is everything. It's the Spirit. It's not the dead letter, but it's Jesus, who is the living Word, changes us from day to day. That's why we read the Bible constantly, right? And we meditate on it, and we let it dwell in us richly so that when a problem does come, we can laugh. Yesterday, I had my whole day planned out. It was awesome. I was going to have an awesome day. So I left home, plenty of time to get here to meet Marty, my son-in-law, to do some electrical work here at the church. And I was praising the Lord, and things were going awesome. But as soon as I exited on the 20 off of Trail Lake, where we live, there was a guy walking, and I mean, it was cold. I mean, yesterday morning it was cold. It was snowing. And it was 15 degrees, wind chill factor, and it was cold. Anyway, this guy was walking. He was a sketchy-looking character. You know how they wear their pants? You know, I saw his underwear. Wore his pants way down. He was, looked all tattooed up, looked like a real thug kind of guy. But Leah wasn't with me, so I thought, I'm just going to pick the guy up. It's cold. Plus, I feel like the Lord wanted me to, so I just pulled over right away, and I picked him up, and he was like, freezing and stuff, and I took him in and bought him some gas, and me and him were talking, and he was asking me what I did, and I said, well, I got my own business, but I'm one of the pastors at my church. We have several. And he goes, well, what is the word of the Lord today, Pastor? So awesome. This guy, I don't know if the guy was a Christian. I don't think he was. Obviously he wasn't, because he had a lot of issues. But then he goes, then I talked to him about the Lord. And I said, well, this is what I was reading in the Bible this morning. And I told him everything, about giving your life to the Lord. And I told him about my wife and kids and all that. And he was shocked that I was married. He goes, I can't believe you could stay with a woman for 35 years and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I got him gas, came back. And on the way back, he was telling me he had two girls in the car. His girls, he called them his girls. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's got little kids in there. Being a stupid person that I am. I am so naive. I thought, well, the guy's got these two little girls, and they're probably freezing. They were freezing, by the way, because they were barely dressed. So I got there, and I looked in the cab real quick to make sure they're okay. And he goes, that'll be all right. Anyway, I think they were prostitutes, but anyway, it was bad. So anyway, I helped the guy out, and I just witnessed to him the whole time. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to help him, so I really helped him. I actually took him back to the, after we finally got his car started, truck, he got to the gas station. He was And I gave him some more gas so he could get to wherever he was going. And but anyway, the girls were in there, and he was yelling at him, "Well, can you come out and thank this man? He's a man of God." Blah, blah. You know, he was like, so anyway, I said, "No, that's okay. That's okay. I don't need that kind of thanks. No kidding." So anyway, and then got here to church, and we had a flood and ripping up carpet. Mary was there, and anyway, it was a fun day. It was really fun. I had a really good day. And then, you know, it's just you never know what God's going to do or how your day's going to go. I mean, you never do. Every day there's a trial. Every day there's something that God puts in your life that you're really uncomfortable with. Because I'm so awkward when I witness to non-believers. Now, believers, it's easy, but when you witness to non-believers, I'm just so awkward. I feel like, you know, I'm driving away after I've did my thing. I always drive away. I think, oh man, I should have said this. Oh man, I should have. Golly, I can't believe it, Lord. So you get all. But you know, it's just whatever you say is what you say. You just, I mean, I just said what I said, and then I left it at that. Because God, I just had trust that God always gives you the words to say, and even though it sounds awkward and stupid to you, but if it's the word of God, it's the word of God. It's simple. The gospel is very simple. Like, I like what David said this morning, David Cooper. It's just we're no good. I even said that to him. I go, we're not good. God is good. Only God is good. And that totally changes. If you know that, then your life is totally different than if you thought you could be good or act good. Because I was going to teach today on, you know, the word of God does all the work. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit and joints and marrow and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Only the word of God can do anything. Everything else you do is a total waste of time. The Bible calls it vanity. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. That means it's nothing. It's vain for you to wake up early. There's tons of scriptures like that, that all the stuff that you do is worthless. All the stuff that God does is awesome. So we don't have to worry about anything. God works everything out for our good. He works it for good. We don't work it for good. We don't even know what good is or what evil. We don't know anything. So we're just totally dependent on this word that he wrote down. It says in Peter that it says that the word of God is of no private interpretation. You can't privately interpret it. In other words, the scripture means what it means. It doesn't mean what you think it means or what you want it to mean. It means what it means. So God wrote it down and he revealed it to you. You read it over and over. You read it over and over. You pray over it. Because it's Jesus. It's the living word. It's not just a dead letter to us. And maybe to the other people it is. It's just a book. It could either be loosely interpreted or it can be whatever people think about the Bible. But it's the word of, it's the living word of God. To me, it's living. It's not just a dead letter. It's something I live by. Although I can't live by it, I have to trust in the Lord. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, today's going to be kind of unusual because I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians, and I might read a lot of scriptures too, but they're all in the same chapter. I'll go as quickly as possible. But I wanted to talk a little bit today about that word, that living word, that word that transforms us, that changes us. That Jesus does everything through his word, and that without him you can do nothing. I'm going to talk a little bit about the gifts because I think there's a. The other day I was poring over these scriptures and I was praying to the Lord because I've seen a lot. I've been a Christian since 1981, and I've seen a lot of misuse of things. And anyway, you got to do things exactly the way God says to do it. If you're a minister or you're an elder, then you can't do things for money. You can't do things for vainglory, for your own glory. You cannot do, there's a certain way you have to be. You change. Well, God does that, of course. You don't do it yourself. You know, David Cooper and Jeff and all the people, and Larry and all of us that are pastors, we had to learn this, that, you know, our life is not our own. Our life is hid with Christ and God, and that we can do nothing without Him. And there's nothing wrong with a pastor or a minister to work. Larry has a job, David Cooper has it, everybody here works, even David Haverson. It's all right that you don't have to be a full-time whatever. You don't even have to get offerings or anything. It's awesome. It's free. Because then you're free. You're not dependent on people or dependent on anything. You don't have to manipulate people or try to market yourself so people give you money and all that kind of stuff, because that stuff can be very dangerous. And you could be a lover of, you can't be a lover of money. Can't even drink. Can't do a lot of things. You gotta have one wife, like I told that guy. I go, yeah, I have one wife. But anyway. So you gotta have one wife. Okay. But listen to this, is very interesting. Because chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians and chapter 13 and 14 all go together. You know, it's all together. Now, this is very interesting, this first part, because this is talking about what we just talked. We just did the Apostles' Creed. This is what we believe. This is how it all starts. It says, verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "But as to spiritual things, brothers, or spiritual matters, or things that attain to the spirit." I do not wish you to be ignorant. So he doesn't want these people to be ignorant, but everybody is. You know, the being led away, you were, and Gentiles were led away by dumb idols. In other words, and we still are. When you were not a Christian, you were led away by dumb idols. We still are. We have all kinds of idols. But he doesn't want you to be led by those. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, is a curse. And no one is able to say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of, by the Holy Spirit. So this whole premise of this whole gift thing is predicated on Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with you, nothing. If you think that, then you're deceived. You're just in the idolatry. You want a gift from Jesus, but you don't want Jesus. You want something, Jesus to do something for you, but you don't want Jesus. And that's, everybody's like that. I'm like that. Everybody's like that. David's like that. David Cooper, obviously, is like that. Right, David? We do. We want Jesus to fix our marriage. We want Jesus to fix our business. Norman wants to fix all your business. I want him to get me a job. I want him to, you know, fill me with Holy Spirit, and I want him to do this, I want him to do that, I want him to do all these things, but I don't really want Jesus. I just want to use him. I just want to rape him for all the good stuff he has. Because God is good. And whatever I pray for, the Bible says, whatever you pray for and ask and believe in, you'll receive. God gives you desires of your heart. But your heart is different than your flesh. That's right. It says in James that you can pray. If you pray, you ask amiss because you want to consume it on your own lust. People want a lot. People want glory. They want honor. They want praise. They want something to go their way. They want to be thought of as spiritual. After a while, when you get old like me and Larry, you don't care about stuff like that. You're just like, well, I don't care. People think I'm good or not. I don't give a crap. That's what we think. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that out loud. But you don't. You don't care. I don't care if people think I'm spiritual or not spiritual. Susie, I prayed for Susie, and she got worse. Every time I pray for her, she gets worse. So I pray for her all the time, God. Because I believe in suffering. Right? As a matter of fact, Friday night at our house church, that's what we talked about the whole time. I didn't even bring it up. People just sort of, yeah, you know, I think suffering's good. Darn it, I think it's good. Because we all suffer. We all go through trials. And the suffering that we really go through, though, is that, like Dean, people we love and care about, and even ourselves, we're just not, like David was saying, there's this gap, this huge gap between what the Bible says and what we see.
Amen.
It's huge. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. You can't even believe it.
Yeah.
You're like, God, the Bible says, blah, 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 but look at this, it's totally opposite, you know? So you suffer because you don't see, you suffer in the flesh because you don't see except by faith. But faith is, you know, it's spiritual or something. I don't even know what it is. It's just, you know, you just get it. You just read the word and you get it and you believe it. But if you believe it and you're happy, even though you see things the opposite, like your children or your husband or your wife or relatives or the world, oh my gosh, doesn't look anything like Christianity. Even the church doesn't even look like Christianity. Nothing looks like Christianity to me. I don't even look like Christianity. God, what is it? The only Jesus is the only one I think that looks like a Christian. But so that's the first thing we do is we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We confess Jesus Christ as he came in the flesh. He was born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, then he descended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand. He's coming back. All those things we believe and are true and are solid and are real. And if you believe that, then you're blessed. And that's all. It's just that simple. God had to make it that simple because, you know, for me and Susie, we are not that we're not very complicated people, are we?
No.
Just like the guy I was talking to that I guess he was a pimp, I don't know what he was, but he was very raw and simple. Yeah, I mean, I totally related to the guy. Me and him had a really great conversation and talking about the Lord. And it was just interesting that how comfortable I felt with that guy. Even though he was, he wasn't my race. He wasn't, you know, I was just this old, you know, middle-aged white guy. Or I'm not even middle-aged anymore. I'm way past that. But, and then he's this young, you know, energetic, tattooed. I guess he's hip. I don't know. I don't even know what people are wearing nowadays, but he seemed pretty cool, I guess. But he had two girls. It must have been pretty cool. I'm just kidding. I only have one. That's bad. Don't tell Jim I said that. What? Yeah, it's on Facebook. Oh, is it really? Wow. Scratch that. I can either confirm or deny that I said that. No. But anyway, I lost track of my thing. Okay, anyway, so we're going to talk about spiritual gifts here for a minute. Like Larry was saying earlier, and David Cooper, let's go back to David. You're the only one with common sense here right now. But there's nothing you can do. There's just nothing you can do. You can't make the Holy Spirit do anything. He just does it. And I don't know how he does it. But he does it, and all you're doing is you got your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and finisher of your faith. You're beholding him. Every day you're being changed. And then God gives you all these gifts. Everybody has a different gift. I can't say to the ear, God, well, I don't need you. Or vice versa, or the hand to the leg, or whatever, because everything works together. And the Holy Spirit gives something to everybody as he wills. And he distributes a gift to so-and-so. He gives a gift to Oboe, gives one to David. He gives one to everybody, but it's as he wills. So we can't force it. You can't want it. Even though the Bible says, else he desired, you may prophesy and all that stuff, that's good. You should pray. Because I do, because the Bible says. And you prophesy and do all kinds of things you don't even know. Because if you knew you were doing it, you would get all the glory for
That's
it.
Right.
And you would start a ministry. And you would make money. And you would, you know, and then your family would fall apart. And you would go to hell. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not quite that dramatic. But you know what I'm saying? People, we're just human and we want to market everything and we want everything to be awesome. We want to have a gift and we want to, you know, want everybody to be obvious.
Yeah.
A lot of times, this just happened to Leah the other day, but it happens all the time. Sometimes I'll say something like even at house church sometimes, then somebody will say it after I say it, and then they get all the glory for it. Golly! I hate that. I'm thinking to myself, but God, I just said that. And they said it, and everybody's all freaking out about it, like it's awesome. And I just said it. They probably got it from me. No, I'm just kidding. But you know how it is. It's just like that. So you don't want any glory. Him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So all gifts are for his glory. Amen. And then you might operate in a gift for one time, and then it'll be somebody else's turn.
Yeah.
And then it'll be somebody else's turn. But if you start a ministry on it, like let's say healing ministry, that's stupid.
Yeah.
I think it is. Because everybody can do that. And you can do that for a while or do it as the Spirit wills. But then when it's over, it's over. Then you can still do it. I'm not saying you can't still do it. I'm just saying people overdo it to where that's their whole thing. Instead of, that's why I really believe in local churches and I believe in the house church, because everybody can do everything. You can prophesy. You can do gifts of healing, gifts of faith, gifts of knowledge, words of wisdom. You can have pastors, you can have apostles, you can have evangelists, you can have everything in your house church. Just in your house church, just a few people, a handful of people. But it's not that big of a deal. People want to make a big deal. Just because you have a gift doesn't mean it's a deal.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It's the Holy Spirit. It is something, but it's God. It's not you. You're not doing anything. You're not that great or wonderful or awesome. Obviously, you know, God doesn't want us to get any glory for anything.
Right.
He wants all the glory, all of it. To God be the glory. Obo says it all the time. I love that. He always says, Obo, I'll see you tomorrow, if the Lord willing.
Yeah.
That's a good way to live. That way you're not under any pressure. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to work tomorrow, Lee, and make some money, the Lord willing. I might not go. I might not make it. I might meet somebody on the way. I might pick up a hitchhiker or something. But so you never know what God's going to do. So anyway, and no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. But there's different things of gifts. But the same Spirit, it's the same Holy Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, the same Lord. And there are differences of workings, but the same God. He is working. It doesn't say, but the gifts are all working. It says God is working, all things in all. God's doing everything. If Pastor Jim has a gift to teach, to minister, if he's an apostle or he's a prophet or whatever he is, maybe he's all of them. But that's okay. We're not worried about that. We don't care. I don't care if somebody has a gift and I don't. That doesn't concern me a bit. It's not even any of my business. I just know that whatever somebody, like Jonathan has a gift, that's his gift. Praise the Lord. I'm not worried about it, whether it's his gift or my gift. That's why the Bible says don't be envious and don't be jealous, because there's every evil work.
Yeah.
When you are envious of somebody or jealous of somebody else's gift, then you're in trouble. There will be every evil work. You will have all kinds of demons and all kinds of problems. But if you just let it go and don't even care about it, then it'll all work out, and God will bless you with whatever he's given you to do.
Yeah.
But you have to always stand on the rock, the foundation, which is Jesus. That's why Paul said in verse 1 through 3, you have to have a foundation. You can never, ever, ever, ever leave the article of justification by faith. Once you leave that and go for something else, then you're in trouble. I mean, every day. Like, I love what David said, because it's true. Every day I'm the worst sinner in the world. I'm the chief of all sinners. But then I'm God's favorite. It just works out that way. I don't know how it does it. And you too. You know, you just do that every day. You're like, oh, God, I'm the worst of sinners. And then the next breath, gosh, God, I'm your favorite kid, you know. So it just works out like that, because we are a total contradiction. We are totally incapable of doing anything. And isn't that great?
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I'm just so at peace. That's why if you're free, like yesterday, all the stuff that happened, I was so free. Nothing bothered me, which it normally would. You know, I think, I got to help this guy. He's probably, you know, probably a pimp or something. I didn't think that. But I had to help that guy, and then, you know, and then all the stuff happened at the church, and I didn't get to do what I really wanted to do, was do nothing. But I was still doing nothing. That's the awesome part about it. When you're doing something, you're really doing nothing. Jesus is doing it all. He gave me the words to say to that guy. I didn't sweat it. He didn't kill me or shoot me or anything. And it all worked out good. Then I went to church, and then Mary came and helped me. Is Mary here right now? She's probably with Gabby, but Mary helped me, and another guy came and helped, and I had a really good time fellowship with my son-in-law and Marty, and it just all worked out for good. And I got home, and we had all of our grandchildren at the house because we were baby. Whenever our kids have a party, it's not good because we're going to have tons of kids at the house. I mean, little kids. So we had a lot of little kids, but we had fun. So anyway, it was odd. So it all worked out good. That's how God does it. God's given everybody, and that's how it happens in the church too. Everything works together for good. You don't have to get any glory. That's what irks people. That's what irks you. That's why people are depressed and upset all the time, because they have a gift, by gosh, and they're going to use it. And if people don't appreciate it, they're going to be upset. But that's not what gifts are for. Gifts are to edify other people, not you.
Yeah.
Gifts are to bless others. It says that later on in the chapter. They're for other people. They're not for you. If I had a gift of healing, it's not for me. I'm already healed.
Yeah.
If I have a gift of prophecy, prophecies are to build up the church, to edify, to build people up.
Right.
It's not to build you up. Mm-hmm. Now, praying in tongues is different. Praying in tongues is when you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up. So when I pray in tongues, I'm building myself up in my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you read the book of Galatians, that's the foundation of this, everything I'm talking about.
Amen.
You foolish Galatians, you began in the Spirit, you're going to be perfected in the flesh. He that works miracles among you and ministers to you the Holy Spirit, does he do it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? There's nothing you can do. It's just hearing by faith. So every gift given by God, tongues, interpretation of tongues, everything that God gives is just by faith. You can't do it. You can't work it up. You can't do anything. You just can't. You just got to believe it. It's just by faith. Just like you received Jesus Christ. When I received Jesus Christ way back in 1981, it was just by faith. It was clearly, clearly faith. Because I was not a good person. You know, it was clearly faith. I'm still not. But so it's clearly by faith. So everything's by faith. You began in the Spirit. You're going to continue in the Spirit. Even the Bible says that. And then you'll end in the Spirit. And then when you see Jesus, you'll be just like him. And then you'll receive all. In the fullness, you'll receive your total inheritance. That's why all this will pass away. You can read it. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in chapter 12, 13, and 13 talks about love, and then 14 it talks about this. Then all this stuff will disappear. You won't need it. Y'all won't need to pray in tongues when I get to heaven. I won't need to have faith in heaven because I got it. I won't even need hope because the thing I'm hoping for, I got. So all I have is love. The greatest of these is love. So it'll end up in love. But even now in this world, everything operates by love. Faith operates by love, it says in the Bible. Hope, everything. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Even hope is love. It's a fruit of love, which is God. God is love. So everything is a fruit of love. So all these gifts are just a fruit of love. If it's something else, then it's bad. It can't be something. It has to be done out of love. And God does that. You don't have to worry about it. God will do it. So every gift you have will come forth. It'll come out by love. It'll come out by Jesus. But don't ever forget to keep the foundation chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Don't forget to keep the foundation. Don't forget that you're justified by faith. Anyway, it goes on to talk about the different gifts, discerning of spirits, interpretation of languages. But it all, the self-same Spirit works all things. He works all things. It's not you. Distributing separately to each as He wills, as the Holy Spirit wills. Verse 12, even as the body is one and many members, but all members are of one body, but there being many, making up one body, because we're the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head. Jesus is building His church. This is Jesus doing all this. This is the Holy Spirit doing all this, because Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Pastor Jim will not build the church. None of us elders will do the church. The Pope cannot build the church. The Baptist Convention cannot build the church. No one can build a church. No one. Anything you can think of, any religion, any minister, does not build a church. They have a part, maybe, a gift, but they can't build. You can't build a church. Only Jesus can build a church, so I just let Him do it. I never help them out. Even my own family, I never help God out. Even in my own walk with the Lord, I don't help them out. Because if I did, I would screw things up so bad, it would be embarrassing. I'm already an embarrassment anyway, but if I help God out, my family would be bad. So I don't even help them. I just say, God, faith comes by Him. I'm just going to read Your Word just what it says. I'm not going to worry about figuring it out and all that. I can't do that either. I need the Holy Spirit for that. So God's going to have to do everything. He's the only one in the universe that works. If you read the book of Psalms, it says it all over there about He's the only one that does wondrous works, the only one. If He's the only one, then He's the only one. Then you can't do anything. So then you can rest. I was joking with somebody back in the coffee room there about, hey, this is a place where people just come to rest. But really, that's our whole life. Our whole life is just rest. That way we don't have to, if our day doesn't go the way it's supposed to go, then we're okay. If things don't work out, if I don't get to go, you know, if I don't get the job I want or get to go to the college I want to, or I don't get to, when I was younger, and if I don't get to do this, if this doesn't work out, this relationship doesn't work out, I don't worry about it. Jesus has to work all that out for me. Whether I'm a good husband or not, I don't even think about that. I don't know if I am or not. Jesus knows. I don't know. Or if I'm a good dad, my wife says I am, so I just believe it, but I don't think so. I don't think anything of myself. I don't compare myself to myself. I don't compare myself to other people. You shouldn't either. It's not wise. You just look at Jesus. He's awesome. He's great. And He can take care of all your problems. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So pretty soon, Susie's arm will heal, and she'll get her wing back. And God will do something, and everything works together for good. I never worry about anything, which is probably not good, but I don't. And you shouldn't either. Don't ever worry about anything. Everything will work together for good. Everything. Your children, there's a promise in the Bible. Everything will work together for your husband or your wife. You just got to give them to the Lord. Give everything to the Lord, and He might give it back to you. Maybe you won't. Maybe somebody else will get all the glory, get to lead them to the Lord and all that stuff. You never know what God will do. Sometimes you don't have to do anything. He tells you to do, hey, what do you want to do today? Nothing. So you don't do anything. Just let God do it. And I don't know what happened to that guy yesterday. His name was Lorenzo or something like that. But I just said what God, I felt like God wanted me to say, and that was it. Then I did, it's none of my business what happens. I just planted a seed, or he got led to the Lord, I don't know. But he seemed to be pretty okay with what I was saying, so maybe he received it. He even asked where our church was, and I told him. So, but he's not here today. I don't see him anywhere. But he's not here. Okay, so anyway, it goes on, talk about all these gifts, the body, different languages, works of power, gifts of healing, tongues, interpretation. It says, but zealously strive after the better gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So this way, then it talks about in chapter 13, if I speak with tongues of men and angels and do all these awesome things and have faith to move mountains and do all this awesome stuff, and I have not love, and it goes on to describe what love looks like, because love never fails. All that other stuff will fail if it's not done in love. You can do it. Yeah. You can have faith to move mountains and not have love. Wow. That's amazing. And then it talks about being an infant in verse 11. When I was an infant, I spoke as an infant. I thought as an infant. And that's us, by the way. I reasoned as an infant. But when I became a man, mature, every man mature in Christ, I did away with things of an infant, a child. For now we see through a mirror in dimness, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will fully be known, even as also was fully known. And now faith, hope, and love, these three remain, but the greatest of these is love. So right now we're only looking in a mirror dimly. Have you ever looked in one of those old mirrors where it's kind of turning black and stuff? It's kind of yucky. That's how you see. That's how we see right now. We don't see things totally clear because we're not yet perfected. But just like that scripture says, when we see him as he really is, then we'll be just like him. We won't be him, but we'll be like him. And all the other stuff will be gone because we won't need it. That'd be awesome. Because you get weary. Because when you live by faith, you're always suffering. When you live by faith, your flesh dies. And, you know, like Susie said, you know, I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of this world. Don't you ever get tired sometimes of this world? It's like, oh my gosh, I wish Trump would stop tweeting, and I wish this would happen, and I wish, they would stop trying to impeach him. I wish that we wouldn't have all these wars and rumors of wars. I wish, you know, people would just love Jesus. But they don't. So as a Christian, that's why you suffer. Because you see how things really should be. That's why you suffer in the flesh. Because you see how you really, like David was saying, you see how you really should be. Because God showed you. You see Jesus. He's perfect. And then you, even though you see it dimly, you see it and you're like, oh man, I'm not even in the same ballpark. I didn't even make it off home plate. I didn't even do anything. Jesus is so perfect, and I'm so not perfect. So we suffer, because then we have to depend on him, you know, and he has to do everything, and he's so slow, and it seems like he's weak, and he doesn't even want to, it seems like he's not even paying attention, right? God, I need some help here, you know. I lost my job. My wife left me. My dog died. And you're not even, where are you? That's a country song, I think. But, you know, we do that, though. I do. Every once in a while I go, man, God, really? You know, I'm supposed to be like an elder thing. And so look at all this problems I have. I can't even control my wife, my kids. My dog doesn't even like me. Yeah, this is kind of funny because Emma, my youngest granddaughter, well, my only granddaughter now, but man, when she was little, she loved me. Oh, it was awesome. As a matter of fact, when people would come in and they were holding her, she would reach out to me like, Paw, hold me. So I was like, I thought I was pretty awesome. So I would hold her, you know, because I could hold her a certain way, like I did my kids, and I would rock her, and then she'd fall asleep, and she loved it. But now she's not that tired, so she likes her aunt, Leah now. Leah's like God to her now, and I'm just like a nothing. Because I always go, hey, Mr. Papa, and she's like, you know, she turns away. And I'm just a nothing now. Yeah, that's how I'm suffering. We're talking about suffering here. Okay, so anyway, we're going to keep going here. Okay, pursue love, pursue God, pursue Jesus, and seek earnestly the spiritual things, but rather that you may prophesy. Then he goes on to talk about prophecy. But he's at, and then the one speaking in tongues does not speak to men, but to God, for no one hears. And he goes on to tell how in corporate setting, it's better to prophesy than to speak in tongues. It's better to speak, you know, five words in English than to speak a million words in a foreign language, because people are understanding, they built up. See, when you're preaching, all preaching is prophesying. Prophesying is not, it could be, but it's not necessarily always foretelling of the future. Sometimes it's just for edification, for comfort, and to build people up. Or you might have a word of knowledge for somebody, like, you know, get a job or something like that. But or you could have words of wisdom. Wow, that was really wisdom. But people do that all the time, don't they?
Yeah.
But it's not, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not over superly spiritual. It's just you got a word of wisdom for it. Hey, I feel like the Lord told me to tell you the scripture or something like that. That's a gift. That's something the Holy Spirit did. Don't take it lightly like it's nothing. It's something. You don't have to stand up in front of a crowd and call somebody out and then rhyme the prophecy, whatever, or say it in a way where it's spiritual, like, you know, change your voice and all that kind of stuff. That's not even what it is. It's just regular people doing regular. The best prophecy I ever got in my life was just a friend of mine who was a nobody. He was barely even a Christian. Well, he was a Christian. I'm just kidding. But he was, he just came to you one day and goes, yeah, I was praying and God just told me to tell you this. I'm going to tell you. And it was awesome. Best prophecy ever. More than all the ministers that ever prophesied over me. It was powerful. But he didn't even know what he did, probably. He just goes, well, I was praying this morning. God told me to tell you this and I'm telling you. So here it is and I'm going home now. So. It wasn't even that big of a deal. It was just like a nothing. It was just a regular person saying regular things, except they were spiritual. So don't always think that these things aren't, because a lot of people in this church and a lot of you think that that stuff doesn't happen, but it happens all the time. I see it all the time, even in this church. I see the gifts moving all the time, but nobody thinks anything like, but it's good, because you don't want to take any credit for it. You just want the Holy Spirit. So I'm just letting you know God's doing all this. But it's not always, it doesn't have to be a big production, like, well, you know, like a big production. It's just not. Like we were in Africa even, it's like, well, they're way more emotional and stuff, but it's not so much a big production. It's just people talking to people and Christians fellowshipping, I mean, and people just talking and ministering to one another individually, and it just all happens. And those gifts come forth. And people don't even know what's happening, but it doesn't matter. Whether you think it's one of these gifts or not, it doesn't even matter. It's just you do what you do. Like everybody wants a title, for instance. What the heck is that for? Who cares if they call you pastor or elder or nothing or Danny or, you know, who cares? When I was in Africa, that's all I kept telling them. No, they always call me Reverend. I hate that word. Reverend Danny.
Arise.
But yeah, but I was like, oh my God, I go, anyway, I had to correct them all the time, but I hang blinds for a living. I'm not really even a minister, a real minister. I'm not a real minister.
Yeah.
No, still not, but we like titles and we like to have gifts that we can, you know, be glorified in, but really to God be the glory. Right, Oboe?
Amen.
To God be the glory. God is good. Okay, So he speaks mysteries and talks about prophesying, the building up the church. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. The gifts have nothing to do with you. Nothing. Absolutely not. All it is it's building you up because Jesus is building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So it goes on and on and on and on. He talks about praying in tongues and all these different things. And then he ends in chapter 14. He talks about how to prophesy, you know, two or three, and it kind of describes everything, and that God does everything in order, because he's not the author of confusion, but in peace in all the churches. And then in chapter 15, he goes right back to the gospel. But brothers, verse 1, and then I'm done. I reveal to you the gospel. As a matter of fact, this is only reason why we have gifts, is because of the gospel. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, gift, peace, gift, because of righteousness. When you're righteous, you always have peace. If you ever read righteousness, peace in the Bible, it always is connected with peace. Always. Grace and peace be to you. Paul always writes, he says, it's always attached. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They're together. They go together. That's why a lot of you don't have peace, is because you are trying to be righteous in your own strength or righteous. It's just a gift. If you're justified by faith alone, apart from the law, apart from your works, apart from your merits, apart from your ceremonies, and then you're peaceful. Because then you have nothing to do. So you're at peace. I am peaceful all the time. So righteousness, peace, and then I'm joyful because I'm peaceful. When you're peaceful, you have a great joy. So, in which you also stand, so we stand by this gospel, by which you also are being saved. Not you are saved, but you're being saved. That's the big confusion in church right now between Calvinists and all different kinds of people. They're always talking about this because they don't understand. Yes, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes, I can do all things through Christ. Yes, 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 yes. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Law which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's all true. It is true. And I am dead to sin, alive to God. My life is hid with Christ and God. But still, you're being sanctified. Even though you're dead, you are dead. You're dead. Your old man is dead, but yet he lives. Like David was saying, you know, you have a contradiction inside of you because your old man's still alive. And you want it to live because it's awesome. It is almost impossible to kill that guy. You cannot. That's why you have to die every day. And then people hate that. Die every day? Well, darn, I thought I was dead already. Yes, you are, but you're still alive. So you have to kill that guy. That guy dies every day. And it dies by faith. Because you don't see it. You're just doing it by faith. But you will see it. You only see it partial in this world. So you'll see it, though. It'll be... If you look to the future, if you're looking at it at faith, then you're already dead. But you can't just say, well, I have the mind of Christ, so every thought that comes into your head is Jesus, because it's not. Because we're human and we have stupid thoughts. But take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So even though you're saved, even though everything is already done, Jesus is working it out in you. I don't know why God does it that way. Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, but he died in the last days. I don't even understand that. What the heck is he even talking about? Jesus died from the foundations of the world. Before the world even began, he died. And then later on, it was manifest. And that's the same way in our life. Even though it's already done, it's being done. So we're being saved. It's even in the Greek. It's a continual thing. It's a process happening in your life. You're being saved all the time. Every day I'm being saved. Okay, this is my last scripture. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It was written down. If it wasn't written down, then it wouldn't be true. Because Jesus, that's how God works. He puts His word above His own name. And that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So there it is. That's your life. Your life is His life. When He died, I died. When He rose, I rose. When He ascended into heaven, I ascended into heaven. He's the Son of God, I'm the Son of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I inherited all things.
Amen.
That's awesome. So that's pretty amazing that we inherited, we're joint heirs. If you're an heir, you don't work for it. You're just born into it. Born into it. If you're an heir, it doesn't matter how bad or wicked or evil you are, unless there's a provision for it, but there's not. The provision went to Jesus. Jesus did all the Aaron thing. He died. Unless you die, then you don't get the money. If you have money for your kids saved up in the bank, and it's yours. Until you die, then it's going to go to your kids or whatever. So you have to die first. Jesus had to die to give us everything we need. So he's already provided everything you need for this life and the life to come. For this life and the life to come. For this life and the life to come. So you have it all covered. So what are you worried about? Nothing. Don't worry about anything. Father, we thank You that today we have no worries because You have done everything for us. First of all, You died for us. You rose from the dead. You did everything for us. You lived Your life for us. You kept the law for us. Wow, that's awesome because we don't have to do that. You have done everything for us.
Yes.
And now You're doing it in us, which is sanctification. We're being killed day by day. Although our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. And that now You're going to work through us too, gifts. Because You've given us gifts to love our neighbor, to love not only the world at large, but especially to love those that are a household of faith. The Bible says, do good to all men, especially to those who are the household of faith. So, Father, we thank You for that. We thank You, Father God, that You have given us all gifts. Every gift is ours. We don't have to strive for it or work for it. It's like it says in Galatians, we don't do it by the works of law. We do it by the hearing of faith. So now we heard it, we can do all things. We can prophesy. We can speak in tongues. We can do everything that the Bible says we can do because it's just a gift. We don't even have to even think about it. We just receive it. And You give it to us. Wisdom, understanding, healing, all the things You've given us. Because we need all that because we've got to survive this world. And thank You, Father God, most of all, I thank You today that because this has come up so many times this week, is just suffer. Thank You that we suffer in the flesh, that we might cease from sin, that we suffer so that You may live and we are dead. And so we don't care about suffering. We rejoice in it. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. So we just choose by faith to be cheerful all the time, even in the midst of our sufferings, even in the midst of our trials, in the midst of just everyday life, even when we're bored, even when we're just not doing anything, we just rejoice because You're a good God. And everything is working together for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Lord Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word, blessed Redeemer, living.